out there, everybody. Welcome to Caffeination number 243. This is the Fanfare Edition. We have a great episode lined up for you today with a ton of content. When I say a ton, I mean a literal ton. I actually had to move it to a separate page because we had so many different links in the show notes. So if you don't mind that, whenever you head on over to the Caffeination homepage over at www.caffeination.com, you're going to see just a little blurb about the episode. You can still play the episode on the homepage, no worries there, but if you want to check out any of the links or anything, we're going to suggest that you go direct to the actual episode page. All you have to do to actually view all the show notes and everything is either click the link in your email, which you can get by signing up to the listserv, just sending me an email at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can just click the episode title, in which case this episode is Caffeination number 243, the Fanfare Edition. We have an absolute ton of stuff for today's show, like I said before, and a lot of it was submitted by people who are fans of the show, hence the name Fanfare. This is your show, so if there's something you want to see on here, something you really like, please feel free to send in an email to caffeination@gmail.com, and you know, it's a multi-use email address here. On today's show, you're going to hear about any and all of the following things: sysadmins, Mozilla, robot bears, Spore, Wi-Fi, and hacking, and coffee. And it's a whole huge different spin on a lot of the stuff we're talking about today. We have a massive ton of TechCraft, a huge amount of caffeine and food, and it is all wrapped up into one loving episode. We're trying to stay to 35 to 40 minutes, because I don't think we're going to stay under 35 here today. And we're going to try and stay under 35 minutes. I've been doing kind of iffy lately, but don't want to waste too much of your time here. But I did want to talk to you right now about how you can save a lot of time. When you're going to meet with colleagues or clients in person, you end up spending a fortune on gas, and all of your time is wasted in airports, hotels, and in traffic. All that for just a two-hour meeting. This problem will not trouble you any longer. All you need to do is do more and travel less. Hold a meeting online from your computer with GoToMeeting. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com during the conference call and sees your computer desktop on all of their monitors. You get more done in a lot less time without all the hassle of driving or flying. You just visit GoToMeeting.com right now and you can get your free trial for 30 days. With this special offer, just visit www.GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts for your 30-day free trial today. And we're just going to dive right on into the episode. Like I said, if you don't like the way that the episode's currently set up, where you have to click on something to get to it, just please let me know. I'm kind of iffy. I don't like changing things like this, but when I write articles or something like that, I usually only put like the first paragraph or two on the homepage, and I have it click so you could have to go to the rest of it. But you know, if you click on Google or something like that, you'll be able to see the entire article in there. I just started doing that with the episodes, because whenever I put an episode up there, it pushed all the articles like four scrolls down the page. And you know, I know a lot of people like to come here, they like to read the different things that we have posted, and they didn't want to, you know, push anything off the page prematurely, so that's why we're trying to do this. So just, you know, feel it out, just let me know what you think about it. Alright, moving right along, we have a great amount of TechCraft like I talked to you about, and we're going to just jump right on in here today. This is a kind of a crazy week, because there's a lot of stuff happening, but not a lot of people around in work. So I start to get a little bit punchy, get a little bit unsure of how to talk to people sometimes, and every once in a while I just kind of float off somewhere. So just please bear with me for today's show. And on speaking of the topics of bears, the fine folks over at My Home 2.0, basically a website promoting a Verizon Fios service, have decided to create a very strange amalgam of technology, what appears to be a sentient version of Teddy Ruxpin. It's called the Twittering Teddy. Basically, this Teddy is somehow connected to Twitter, and if you at the teddy bear, it will actually speak to you, and it's live on Ustream as we speak. And I'm actually going to try and see if it'll talk to us today, because I don't know if it'll actually pipe up. I was going to add it, but I didn't want to just junk up my Twitter stream with all this other stuff, so it may talk at some point in time or another while we're sitting here waiting. Of course, there's nothing that's actually going
to Fios.
Yeah, it's just giving out little information about Fios and stuff like that. But what I do like that they did with this is they actually told you how to do it. They told you how to play with it, and they told you how it was created. So there's a whole bunch of different videos up there. I thought it was really neat, and it's caused a little bit of a buzz on the internet right now. So I wanted to make sure that, in case you weren't aware of it, I don't know how long they're going to keep it online, but it's kind of funny, at the same point a little bit creepy, because the voice that it's using is one of like the standard Mac voices, and it doesn't doesn't look or sound anything like the old Teddy Ruxpin voice, so I'm kind of expecting one thing to come out, and it's something completely different. However, if you go over to the Teddy 2.0 Home thing on Twitter, you can see that there's actually somebody behind the scenes who's texting people back, basically, and answering people's questions and stuff like that. So it's just kind of fun, kind of an interesting little give and take with the community as a whole, and I just thought I'd pass it along to people. I was kind of torn as to whether or not I was actually going to put this story up there, but you know what? It's the 30th anniversary of this. Yes, Space Invaders has turned 30 this year, so they're doing all they can to kind of pull the retro gaming card out and kind of try and play off people's sentimentality, a little nostalgia here and there. I just don't understand some of the products that they're shilling right now, one of which being Space Invader headphones. So basically, these cans go around your earlobes and everything, and they have little Space Invader logos on the side, and they're only $20. So I don't know how good of a set of headphones you can get for $20. I've had some fairly decent ones, but they were always like name brand. Like a Sony $20 pair of headphones is a little bit differently than a no-name Walmart brand. And it might have something to do with the fidelity of the sound you get out there. It might have something to do with just the quality of workmanship. And for the longest time, I would go through headphones like 2-3 sets a year. And until I started spending just a little bit more, I'm not talking like $70, $80 on headphones. I'm talking like the pair that I have on right now was like $30. And it's just enough and just enough of a name. I think these are actually costs. The actual connection between the headphone and the wire itself wouldn't fray. That's the only thing, because I kept wearing them out doing that. Between that and the actual jack that plugged in. So if you get a pair of headphones that has a good something like that, you know, you can't really tell what you're looking at here. But then again, it's $20. It's a 30th anniversary edition of something. So if you're really into Space Invaders, it might be an interesting investment, but I would be willing to bet that it's probably not going to be very good quality craftsmanship there. All right, moving right along. I told you we got a lot of stuff. We're going fast and furious here. Mozilla Firefox has gone for a record yesterday and today. So basically from June 17th to June 18th at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time to 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on one to the other. They were trying to set a world record for the most number of downloads of Firefox. Firefox 3 just debuted the other day, so they're trying to that's actually kind of weird because I'm not getting any downloads on the homepage. They actually had the world record up there for a while, and the thing is they've been doing so much, they've been trying to convince people that this was going to be such a huge thing that a lot of people upgraded right off the bat, which I thought was really cool, but I even signed up to do it, but you know, because I support the entire Firefox movement, but I can't use Firefox 3 right now because it doesn't work with some of the add-ons that I have. Like, I use Google Browser Sync so that my bookmarks at home, my bookmarks at work, and my bookmarks at absolutely every one of the six machines that I use are all the same. And that is an indispensable tool, and I've heard there's some other ones out there, but they're phasing Google Browser Sync out, so it's never going to work with Firefox 3. So until I get to a point where I can have some other system in place, I'm going to hold off on upgrading. I did download, so I was counted, and they got somewhere around 8 million downloads. The funny thing about it is they were so good at getting their message out and so good at proselytizing about it that the servers actually went down for somewhere around the first 4 hours. You were like 1 in 100 if you actually got it and managed to download it. So there were people who were going direct to the FTP server. There were people who were trying to find mirrors. But the problem is, if you download from a mirror, did it count against the record? Well, I think they pretty much shattered the record they were going for. They were going for something like 5 million people, and apparently they had somewhere in excess of 8 million people download the software on the first day. So that's insane. It's awesome, but you won't see me using it anytime soon until I can get a couple things sorted out. You know what I mean? Now, if you've ever walked by your boss's office at work and you wondered what exactly he or she is doing, and it doesn't really necessarily always look like they're incredibly busy, and I suffer from the same thing because a lot of the times my student workers will be walking by my office and say, "What are you actually doing?" Well, I'm reading email, I'm doing reports and everything. Not everything is very busy work. It doesn't look like you're being active at the same point in time. But what do you think for like the really high-level executives? Exactly what do they have to take up their time? Well, if they had the desk like this, they could just sit there and stare at it for hours, and I would consider that productive. If you have $21,000, then you too can get the executive desk. This is a piece of functional art from Dale Mathis. This is insane. This is steampunk on one end because it's all gears and interesting and organic shapes, and it's very, very visceral, and each one that he makes is completely and utterly different. I actually put a link up there to his other pieces of artwork because they're beautiful. I mean, they're absolutely meticulously done and unbelievably gorgeous. If you head on over to the link that we have in the show notes, you can actually see the desk work. So there's all these clockworks going on the inside of the desk. And the fun thing is that they all move, and they all everything works. Everything is meticulously machined down to the smallest fraction of an inch. I don't even know what it does at the end unless it just sits there and spins the last gear into infinity. I thought it would be really cool if there was like a tiny clock in one end of the desk, and that's the entire thing that it operated. Or maybe, you know, somehow turned like a... I don't know. I don't know what exactly it could do, but it's just such an unbelievable piece of design work that I had to pass it along. And the funny thing is that they actually made phrases like this. It is really a fully functional visual and kinetic interpretation of a desk. You know what? It's not an interpretation of a desk. It actually is a desk. Anything that has a slab of flat material in which you can set things on to work, then it is, in fact, a desk. It's not an interpretation of a desk. At least that's what I would say, because it's, you know, you can only take that interpretation so far. I would say that the actual internal workings are a little bit more of the interpretation, but I don't know about the thing. They actually have a keyboard and a mouse tray, so the whole nine yards. So in case you are a geek and you have 21 grand laying around that you'd like to blow on a desk, that's exactly what you can go over there and do. Although there is a bunch of other really cool art, like I said, that's over up there at the Redstone Gallery, and that the artist's name again is Dale Mathis. Really insane stuff that he has up there. All right, now the buzz in the internet sphere right now, the absolute rage among all the gaming websites and everything else like that, is EA Spore, which is the latest creation by Will Wright, the man who designed and built SimCity from the ground up, has decided to create a new version of a game called Spore. We've talked about it before. Basically, you can design life from the time that it's at a single-celled organism all the way up to when it's space travel. I mean, this is like 15 different games in one. So what they've actually done in advance of the release in November is they've actually released something called the Creature Creator. So you can actually sit there and go through and create any one of the creatures that you can actually eventually import into the game. And they've done a really neat job. First of all, if you pre-order the game, you get a full version of the Creature Creator. I did everything with the Demo Creator. So I actually got addicted to it just a little bit. I spent the past couple nights, you know, just kind of working on some of the creatures. So I have three of the ones that I actually put up there. So I'm not going to say too much else about that, except if you are going to download it, it's 225 megs. It's well worth it, and you're probably not going to have any free time for the next couple weeks if you actually do. If you'd like the full version of Creature Creator, they're charging $9.95, which, again, is an extra added revenue stream to the whole thing. And I think it's a really interesting business decision, because there's nothing you can do in there except take videos and pictures of these things. So it's a very limited scope, and they're still going to be making money off it. So I thought it was fantastic. And the other things I wanted to mention is that one of my absolute favorite webcomics is named Ugly Hill at uglyhill.com, and the artist, Paul Southworth, is on Twitter. I follow him, and I interact with him periodically, and his characters at Ugly Hill are made for the Creature Creator. So there's two characters in specifically that I actually created and sent to him, so he's eventually going to be posting them up over at Ugly Hill when he gets a free second. When you head on over to the different articles, both the one at Joystick, the different pictures that I have up there, and then when you eventually see the ones over at Ugly Hill, it's really insane to see the different things that people have visualized. Some of the ones that are being posted on some of the other forums are a little not safe for work, because imagine this: if you have a blank slate, you're going to have somebody that draws something that's not necessarily fit for general consumption. All the ones that I have are relatively inane, and they're kind of funny. At least I think they are. The one actually looks like a flamingo with spiked balls on its head. Looks like they're little pom-poms. That one's named Vicky, by the way. So just moving right along, we have a fun article that was actually sent in by one of our listeners, James. Thank you so much for this. This is the real snail mail. I guess this is kind of a performance art installation at the same point in time as it's actually a functional demonstration. So this thing is going to be demonstrated during SIGGRAPH of 2008. It's called Slow Art Exhibition. So from the 11th to the 15th in August 2008, you're going to be able to see snail mail. So basically there's three or four snails, and they all have different profiles, and each one is has a glass RFID chip glued to the back of them. And then there's a receiver located at different points around the cage. So you give one of these snails a message, and then it slowly wanders around the little landscape, and whenever it gets within 3 centimeters of the receiver, it considers the message sent. And it's just awesome. I really like the idea, and the funny thing is that they actually have different profiles there. So Cecil has made 4 deliveries, and it's currently carrying a message, and his average delivery time is 3.26 days for one message. Austin has made 10 deliveries, and this speedy little sucker, who's who's currently available to carry a message, usually gets his theirs in 1.96 days. And then, of course, Muriel has not really done very much of anything. She might be dead, but nobody really knows. It's kind of fun to go over there and just check out what they have there. Thanks, James, for sending this in. I'm really going to be checking in. I'm going to hopefully remember to post it back up to the Caffeination when the actual cam goes live, the August 11th through 15th. You can actually check out the snails wandering around the cage. So it's going to be kind of fun. I hope this is going to turn into something like the cheese aging cam. There's some webcam in like a cheddar factory, a cheesery in somewhere in England where you can actually watch the cheese mold. So just if I find it, I'll put it up there. But I just thought it was awesome, so I'm sharing it again. All right, now the next little thing we have up here I found from over at Ogizmo. It's a fractal table. So this table was basically designed using rapid prototyping equipment. So it's 3D printers, it's different like laser cutters and things like that. That's all of what is encompassed in rapid prototyping. In the architecture department, we have a want for certain ones of these. And from what I understand about the process that goes into actual rapid prototyping, creating something around the size of your fist can take like 14 hours. That's how long some of these things can take. And the idea behind this table is that it's a fractal progression from one single point of contact on the floor. Actually, it looks like there's four or five. So it slowly branches out, and through a mathematical equation, eventually ends up breaking off sooner and sooner till it supposedly goes off into infinity. All of the terminal points on this fractal actually end at the same point, and they level out in a tabletop. It is gorgeous. I have no clue how long it took them to do this. It's unbelievable to actually sit there and check it out, so I wanted to pass it along to people. All right, moving right along here. This is something that I really did not think to put into the show, but we have a small video break here. Now, I'm not going to actually play each one of these videos, but two of them were sent in. One of them was sent in by my father, another one was sent in by my good buddy Jimmy, and the last one I kind of found through another link. But I just want to put some time in your day aside for this. The first one, my dad sent me a story about a car that runs on air. Now, we've talked about it before, but I never really thought that there was a real working engine associated with this. I mean, everybody's seen model airplanes or something like that that work off compressed air. There's two companies, one in Australia and one in, I think, France, that actually have working prototype cars that run entirely off compressed air. Now, they go this video program is probably around 10 minutes long, and it is worth every second of your time. If you're interested in this at all, you should really head on over. This is a YouTube link, so you head on over there and just check it out. I'm probably going to be writing another little story up about it later on this week if I can manage to get the time in there, aside from all of my creature creating. But it's really, really insane the detail that they go into. They actually show you the frame of the car, they show you the engine, they show you every single little thing, and they explain it down to the tiniest detail. It's really an awesome little piece, and I highly suggest you check it out. The next one up here is I actually changed the link that Jimmy sent me. He sent me a link to E-Bombs World, and I'm not really a fan of that site. But I found a more expanded link to this, and this is a link to a Star Wars dance-off at at the Hyperspace Hoopla in Disney World. And this is an insane little piece of internet minutia. I had to just pass it along because there's no way to describe what you would see if you actually check this out. This is the Hyperspace Hoopla. Basically, this is an 80s dance-off between three different teams of people. The first one is Chewbacca and a Jawa dancing to Footloose. The next one is Princess Leia, Queen Amidala, and a bunch of other girls dancing to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And the last one is Darth Vader and a bunch of stormtroopers dancing to Thriller. Now, it's if any of that sounds interesting, I personally vote for Chewbacca. Jimmy originally sent me the link just to the Vader one, and I think the Chewbacca one deserves it a little bit more because that suit had to be hot to do all that dancing in. So I just, it's really worth a laugh, so I just decided to shove it out here, and hopefully you enjoy it. And then the last little video that we have from the video break here today, it's kind of weird to talk about the videos, but I don't want to just sit here and play them because the sound doesn't really speak to them. The last little one that we have up here is actually a link to a blog called geeklimit.com, and it's a really fun little blog. You can actually check it out. But some of the other stuff that they were actually in here doing is, this is a scene out of Conan from a little while ago. It's Conan O'Brien and William Shatner, and what somebody actually ended up doing is going through the audio of William Shatner in a NASCAR in a test drive, and they made a techno remix out of it. So it's really kind of insane. All right, we're going to start it up right here just so you can hear the sound that they started to modify, and then we're going to let it go. So that's just William Shatner sitting in the car, and you hear the engine roaring in the background, then you hear him going, woo, woo, and then they hear him talking later on. And then it eventually turns into this, which is some kind of weird techno association with the entire thing. And they use sounds from the show, they use sounds from a whole bunch of different things. I thought it was a really fun remix, so I thought I'd pass it along to people. And we're not going to do too much more of that, because some people just don't like it, so we're moving right along. Next little link we have up here is from a very good friend of mine, another one of the people who read this site and submit content fairly often. Paul Sylvester has a really fun blog over at tech-linkblog.com, and there's a fun little survey he wanted people to head on over there and check it out. So I just promised them I'd pass on the link. There's a link in the show notes to actually head on over to his site. He sent me a voicemail on Skype, and Paul, I'm really sorry, but the voice quality, like I couldn't actually hear what you were saying some of the time, so it took me a couple times to listen to it, because it might have been my speakers, might have been the microphone, I'm not really sure, so I wanted to just make sure that I got your link out there, and I got people to head on over to your site to check it out. Next little thing we have up here, if you thought being assaulted every time somebody else's phone rang was enough, if you thought that every time you call certain people's phones there's actually a ring back tone so you have to listen to whatever inane music they have now, how would you like to walk up to a friend's house, hit the doorbell, and hear Kanye West? Well, apparently, there's now an MP3 doorbell player, and I did not know that it would take this long. I actually thought you were going to see one of these about 5 to 10 years ago. So it's just kind of weird that it's taken this long, but it's around $90, which I'm pretty sure you could probably cobble together something like out of a tiny old PC, or even just like strap a cell phone to the front of your house. I don't know why it's $90. Maybe because you can preload the MP3s on it. It probably has all kinds of DRM and everything, but you know what? For as simple as a doorbell is, it's seriously just a button on the front of your house that closes a circuit. I mean, it just, all it does is closes a circuit. It's the tiniest little thing that you would do in an elementary school education electricity project. So I don't know why that it would eventually get up to going for $90. So as long as you hit the button, it should just play the song. That shouldn't be a problem here. So it has 50 pre-recorded songs in it. So you know what? You can get those songs offline for free. I'm pretty sure we can find some way to actually make our own. So wanted to kind of pass it along. Hopefully you didn't pay the $90, but hey, if you did, just let me know what you think of it. All right, next little thing we have up here is a huge win for Philadelphia. I don't know how big this is. I don't know how to express exactly how big this is to everybody else out there. Philadelphia's municipal Wi-Fi program has been basically dropped by Earthlink. So Philadelphia has kind of been in a lurch, and anybody who is paying for the service, which I honestly don't, because I already pay for internet service at home. I wasn't willing to pay an extra amount of money just to be a little bit more mobile. So there's a huge long drama, and they basically said, you know, we're going to shut off your service. You know, we're going to shut off your service. The mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter, said, you know what, we're not going to spend any municipal dollars. Good deal on doing that one. And eventually a private investment group came up, and they have a whole different way that they're actually going to operate it. There's going to be free Wi-Fi access, and it's going to be ad-supported. This is something that I really, really like. Not necessarily the fact that there's going to be ads all over the place, but there's a way that, you know, just for somebody who's wandering through, if they want to, they don't have to sign up for anything. There's no extra money involved. But there's also a way for people to subscribe to the service and without the ads, if you're somebody who uses it a lot, or you can actually be a business or a large municipality that actually pays for the service and ends up feeding into the system that way. So it's still as yet to be realized, but I just thought I should pass it along because it's really cool. I'm really ecstatic that all the work that they put into actually putting this municipal Wi-Fi in is not going to go to waste. So congratulations to Philadelphia just in, as a whole. That I'm really glad that it's not going away. All right, moving right along, I was actually tagged. I don't know if you've been over to thecaffeination.com recently, but I was tagged in a sysadmin mem. Now, what these things are, basically, somebody posts a blog article somewhere, and they say, you know what, I'm tagging this person, this person, this person. I'd like you to take all the questions that I put out there and answer it. I'd like you to answer them in your blog and then link back to mine. So it's... Usually I wouldn't do something like that, but this one had kind of a little bit of nostalgia and a little bit of geekery to it. So Keith from over at the mindofroot.com from the Mind of Root podcast. Really great guy, and really he runs with an interesting pack over there is the easiest way to say it. He coined the sysadmin mem, and it basically it's a whole bunch of different computers talking about when your first time you used computer, what your first scripting language was, what was your first sysadmin gig. Do you have any advice for new and up-and-coming sysadmins? Would you still be in IT if you know now what you knew, or knew then what you know now? I thought it was really kind of a neat, different take on the whole thing. So I said, you know what? I'm going to put my response out there. I'm not going to read the response here. So if you're interested in that, you can head on over to the blog and read it. There's also a bunch of other different responders from different places around the internet. So I thought that you should see exactly who all responded to it. And the list is ever growing. And I decided at the end of my article, I wasn't going to be tagging anybody else. Well, I know a lot of sysadmins. I don't know a lot of people who actively blog. So the way that I'm going to do this is if you are a sysadmin and if you do have a blog that I don't know about and you'd like to respond to this, please feel free, take the whole questions, everything, either link back to my site or link back to Keith's and just let me know about it and I'll gladly put a link up in my article about it. So I'm not tagging anybody directly, but if you should feel the need to respond to this, not like a MySpace survey or anything like that, so I just thought I should pass it along to people. Hopefully somebody finds that interesting. All right, moving right along, we're over to the caffeine and food section. A couple little one-offs to start it off. First off, I'd like to thank my son for a fantastic present for Father's Day. He gave me chocolate-covered coffee beans. I'm going to be writing a review up, and you're probably going to see it sometime next week, because we already have a review lined up for this week, so you're going to see that one coming out on Sunday. But these things are really kind of cool, really kind of fun. So he's a good kid, I got to tell you. So there's a picture of them over at Flickr. Now, the next thing that we have up here is I had a couple different people comment on this when I posted it earlier today, but at lunch today, I got a little bit of, I don't know, maybe it was the loneliness or something like that, but I created a berry turducken. So if you've ever heard John Madden talk about it during football games, it's basically where you take a duck, you stuff it inside a chicken, then you stuff the chicken and the duck inside a turkey. It's this mass of meat, and it's all cooked together and roasted for God knows how long. So I created a berry turducken. In the same kind of vein, I actually stuffed a blueberry inside of a raspberry and shoved all that into a strawberry and took a picture of it. It actually tasted pretty good, but it didn't make for very good photography, so I might try and redo that to see if I can capture the essence of the berry duckin. But it's just another little one-off that I decided to throw out there. Next little thing we have up here is ice cream scoops. Now, I don't know if you ever have this problem with ice cream scoops, but a lot of people out there can't seem to operate them. Either the ice cream's too hard, the scoop ends up sticking all the ice cream, and you don't really know exactly what you should do. Well, there's a new ice cream scoop out there, and this thing is for $15, and basically what it does is it cuts plugs out of your ice cream, and it's called the Scoop and Stack. I really like this. I think this is pretty cool, and I actually think that you could use this a lot for a lot more than just the standard ice cream cones or something like this. This could really end up being used for, like, you know, high-end desserts. You could just have like a little plunk of ice cream right in the middle, a little chocolate drizzle over the top, a little ganache or something like that. It'd just be kind of interesting to see what people could do with this. I like this idea. It's basically an ice cream hole punch. You really should go over there and check it out. It's kind of $15. I mean, it's one of those really moderately cheap kitchen gadgets, which would be kind of interesting. You could probably use it for a whole bunch of other stuff. I actually think this would kind of be fun to kind of spread outside the realm of ice cream. Imagine cutting birthday cake with it, or cutting a breakfast quiche or something like that. It'd be kind of fun to see what you could do with that. And then this last, one of the last articles that we have here is actually, your coffee has been hacked. And this is all over the internet right now. There's a coffee maker out there, the Jura F90 coffee maker. Now, the reason you say it like that is because this thing is an espresso machine and coffee maker and probably makes julienne fries in under 10 minutes. And there's a link over in my site to the Amazon page for it, because it's the easiest place to see exactly how much this thing costs. Well, this coffee machine is $1,800. I don't know anybody else out there, I don't know anybody out there who's going to drop $1,800 on a coffee machine. I would like to think that I would be affluent enough one day to not care enough to drop $1,800, but hey, it's down from $2,250. But this thing connects to the internet, so this is fully automatic. You can actually talk to engineers back at the plant, and they can modify your machine remotely and check in to see what all the different settings are and what exactly is wrong. Well, here's the problem with that. There's no security on it. There's no way to patch this coffee maker, so anyone can actually take over your coffee maker from the internet and change the amount of water per cup, change the amount of coffee that is added. So somebody could, if I had this sitting in my kitchen, somebody could theoretically hack my coffee machine to make me less productive throughout the day, and that is a serious security problem that needs to be dealt with. So I wanted to pass it along to people out there, because if you happen to, first of all, if you can afford an $1,800 coffee machine, my hat's off to you. And second of all, if you have one of these, you might want to put it behind a firewall or something like that, because it's possible that your productivity could be very adversely affected. The other thing that they're actually mentioning is that this thing could possibly act as a gateway to your PC, which it is connected to, so that it could provide a backdoor for people to actually get in. Now, according to the one blog that I actually link up there, the Security Focus, there may not be a way in which you can patch this. So they don't know if it has updatable firmware. They don't know if you can update the software for anything. But you know what? They should have built it kind of like they built network printers, where it has like a little web interface that you can go in and you can update and upload new firmware. It'd be really, really short-sighted if you couldn't. And I'm laughing on the one end because I think that it's pretty funny that somebody would actually try and hack a coffee maker. But on the other hand, I'm kind of crying a little bit on the inside in that somebody might be a little bit less productive due to this machine. Now, the next little story that we have up here is, I plan on living forever. I don't know about you, but coffee drinkers apparently live longer. So, it says women who drink more than 6 cups of coffee a day were found to have a 17% lower risk of dying from heart disease, cancer, and other illness over 24 years. So that's pretty impressive. I don't know how this extrapolates onto different men or anything like that. And I'm hoping that we get somewhere around the same level of response there. And I just like this idea. The more I read about some of these little fun coffee articles, for every bad coffee article, like, you know, it causes your heart to explode if you drink 14 gallons of it, there's always a really good one on the back end. Like, you know, it reduces the chance that you're going to get dementia, you're not going to end up with Parkinson's, and there's all these different things that are just going to keep me drinking coffee for years on end. I don't know if it's the caffeine associated with it, I don't know if what it is. It's a very wonderful beverage, hence that's why we dedicate most of the podcast to it. And by the way, if you couldn't tell at this point in time, I've had a double shot of espresso probably about 20 minutes before we started this show, so I'm flying nice and high right now. I'm very caffeinated, which is a good thing to be when you're doing the Caffeination Podcast. The next little story here is a little bit of fan service. Again, this is the Fanfare edition here, but I every once in a while I do a little bit of a check to see exactly how people find my website. And one of the real recent trends was people were searching for the Golden Star Tea Review, which is something I did very recently, and that's one of the things I expected to see. It's like, okay, fine, if you're searching for Golden Star Tea Review, I'm fantastically happy that you ended up at my site. There was one search term for 3 days which ended up showing up. Bacon caffeine. Now, I like bacon, and I am of a firm mind that any food when associated with bacon becomes intrinsically better. I don't care what kind of food it is. Bacon ice cream, I have seen, I have not tasted, but I've heard it's good. So I would like to think that bacon, by any stretch of the imagination, is infallible. I've never heard of anything caffeinated and baconated at the same time. And now this next little story up here is probably going to fuel my page rank a little bit higher in the bacon ranks, but there is now a bacon flavored floss. You heard me correctly. So there is a little container that you two can buy, which has 27.3 yards, so it's 25 meters of floss. This is a lot of floss here, and it's all flavored like bacon. Now I want to know, is it flavored like the crispy bacon, or is it flavored like the bacon that needs to be cooked just a little bit longer? Is it flavored like bacon grease, or is it flavored like bacon smells? Because that's one thing that I notice sometimes about coffee. It's like when you hear something that's coffee flavored, okay, is it flavored in the overly sweet way in which coffee smells, or is it flavored in the slightly bitter but rich way in which coffee tastes? So I don't know what exactly they're going with here, and I will take a lot of hits for the Caffeination Podcast. I'm not going to take the hit and order the bacon floss. I just can't bring myself to do it. All right, that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination Podcast. And this has been a kind of a crazy episode. It's been pretty fast-paced. I'm pretty happy with the way that this whole thing went out. And hopefully you enjoyed today's offerings. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find more of the other member shows that have all agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, which, by the way, Mind of Root Podcast is one of the other member shows at the Tech Podcast Network. Fantastic to help them get more listeners, so head on over there and tell them the Caffeination sent you. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And last but most certainly not least, the Caffeination is a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. Well, this has been the Caffeination number 243. This and all of the other episodes are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com, coincidentally enough. Thank you for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.